Good evening.
Good evening.
For the last couple of months, I have been telling you wonderful things and good news about yourself. And I'm going to continue to do that. But we're not going to talk anymore about race mind. I think everyone now realizes what race mind is, how insidious it is, and to realize that it is everywhere. For us to realize that now, you can see how race mind influences things, so there's no need to keep talking about it. Sometimes if we talk about it too much, we start to get involved with race mind, and we don't want to be involved with race mind. We want to be able to recognize it. We want to be able to see it. And I think everyone now understands what race mind is and how to recognize it and how to withdraw from it. And for the people who don't know what race mind is, it's just the collective consciousness that's going on out there. It's old tales and so forth that have been told forever. It's little things that plague humankind because they tell a lie and we buy into that all the time. So that's all race mind is. So let's go back to good news. And the good news tonight is August is coming up, the month of August. And during the month of August, we are going to learn how to put a lot of things together in a completely technological way. Because this thing that we call God, who I always tell you is beyond thoughts and words, there is an absolute technology. There's a technology on how to communicate with this thing that we call God. We just don't know that. We haven't been taught that. But in August, we're going to learn what is needed in a treatment, in a prayer, so that you can demonstrate in your life what you want to bring in to your life. Because that's the wonderful thing, and that's the good news is, that you see, we live in a world of complete, a universe and a world of complete possibilities. Then we often say everything is already done in mind. Everything that we need is already done in mind. And with your own life, everything that you want is already there for you. But you must choose what you want. And most of the time, people are afraid to choose. You know, there's a saying, once you make a decision, the whole universe comes and backs you up in that decision. But people are afraid to make the decision. They're afraid that they will make the wrong choice. Now, in this teaching and in Course in Miracles, the whole idea is to choose and choose again. If you don't like what you've chosen, you do not have to live with it. You do not have to stay with it. You can choose again. And that's the marvelous thing. Your life, you may think, is going down a certain track. You may like the track that it's going down. If you do, stay on that track. If you don't, you can choose differently. Nothing is written in concrete. This world that we're talking about, all these possibilities that are in mind itself, are pliable. You can do anything you want with them. But you have to make the choice and you have to make the decision. Once you do that, and yet you put the technology behind it, which we will learn in the beginning of August, then by the mere thing of making the choice and using the technology, all the elements that are needed to bring that into this world start to collect around that, so that it will manifest for you, so that it will become real for you. But we lost that technology. There are new sheets on the table tonight, which will bring you in to next week. And it's the idea that we've known this, and this was known, these technologies were known long before Christ. They were known by a group of people called the Essenes, which are at least 500 years before Christ. And they rediscovered this all in the Dead Sea Scrolls. But in the 4th century, when things were edited out of our Bible, these were edited out. And a new technology took place. And that is why people, sometimes their prayers work and sometimes their prayers don't. How many people in this room have prayed for something and not received it? Well, you see, that's an impossibility. That is an impossibility. You see, that would be a cruel God, and why would you pray to a God that wouldn't give you what you wanted? You see, God has to give you what you want. That's a given. But we haven't learned to ask correctly. We haven't learned to put the technology into work. So without it, sometimes your prayer will be answered, sometimes it won't. It's like a hit and miss thing. But once we learn how to do it, it's never going to be a hit and miss anymore. You're always going to hit the mark. You're always going to hit the mark. Because they have used it for centuries. But our modern day brand name religions have taken that out, because way back they didn't understand it. So they felt, if they didn't understand it, why should we understand it? And the other thing that we have done is we have put so much power into prayer itself, thinking that the prayer is what's doing the work. The prayer is not doing the work. The affirmation is not doing the work. Words are not doing the work, you're saying. Rituals are not doing the work. But we have all these in our society, in the brand name churches. We have all this going. And people pray to this thing that they call God. And they don't get what they want. They don't even get an answer. You see, that is also an impossibility, because God is always hearing, always listening, and always ready to give. But we must speak in that language. We must speak in the language that this thing that we call God understands. Now you realize it's not a man sitting up there talking a different language, and we haven't figured out the language. There's no man involved in this thing that we call God. This thing that we call God has no human form whatsoever. This thing that we call God has no human emotions. And this thing that we call God has no human feelings. But it does love each and every one of us. And as soon as we realize that, and as soon as we put the technology into work, the answer will be there for you. The thing that you want will be there for you. And the only thing that's ever holding something back from us is our own thinking. It's what's going on in our mind. So what do we always have to know about ourselves? That we're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that we matter. Those things you must know first. Then you use the technology. You see, if you give a prayer, I want $1 million, and your mind says, but you're not worth $1 million. If your mind tells you you're not worth $1 million, that means you're unworthy. And if you're unworthy, you're not going to get $1 million. It just will not happen for you. That's across the board with anything you want. You have to know that you deserve it, that you're worthy of it, that you're totally lovable, and that you matter. You must know that. So that the mind, your mind, never talks you out of that. So that when you do then, with that, sit down and use the technology. This thing that we call God will go to work.
and do what you want it to do. You see?
And this has been known
for centuries, as I say.
More and more stuff is coming out about it because they have finally, you know, I think they have finally have transcribed every Dead Sea Scroll that they had. They've had them since 1948, by the way. And they're just now finally done. Because there were little bits and pieces that had to be put together. And that's what we're going to learn in August. We're going to learn those techniques. We're going to learn that technology. We're going to learn what these people, the Essenes, knew centuries ago. And we have forgotten that. And especially in the West, we have forgotten it. Because our way of thinking in the West is completely different from the thinking in the East, you see. In the West, we always must know the answer. We cannot live in a question. In the East, they can live in a question. We can't do that. Our Western mind must know. It cannot live in the mystery of things. It must know. And Eastern minds, it doesn't bother them at all. See, they don't need to know the way we always think that we need to know. They take things in a different way than we do. So we're going to get back not to Eastern way of thinking. We're going to get back to a Western way of thinking. We're going to learn something that people knew and had forgotten. And we're going to prove it and make it work for us. So that you can feel this thing, you can realize that you're connected to this thing that we call God, that you can realize that these classes, these years spent listening to my babble, is not in vain, that you're going to get somewhere, that something is going to happen for you. You see, if this is not a practical teaching, then there is no sense to it whatsoever. If you can't use this information to improve your life, and many of you have improved your life just by changing your thinking about yourself, but now you're going to learn even more so that you can actually know that you can create something and know how to create it. We all want to create something. The reason why we can is because we never have been given the tools to be able to do it. And we're going to learn the tools on how to do it. And when you put the tools to work, they will work for you. Because remember, I've often said we've come to this plane completely equipped with everything that we need. We have a toolbox loaded with stuff, but that we don't know what those tools are. So now we're going to learn what those tools are, and we're going to use them so that you can have what you want, and you don't think, oh, this is just airy-fairy, or it hits sometimes, it misses sometimes. Done correctly, it'll work every time. Done correctly, it will work every time. So that's what we're going to look forward to. So if you don't get a paper there, that handout, that'll just start it off for tonight. So that by next week, you'll find out exactly what we're doing. So with that, let's do a spiritual mind treatment. And let's know this. We're completely connected to this thing that we call God. This thing that we call God operates in us and through us. Every bit of us is connected to God. Our thinking, our bodies, everything is connected to God. And when we know this, we can bring into our lives what we want. So right here and right now, we claim our birthright. We claim our birthright of prosperity and abundance and money. We know perfectly well that we are worthy of all these things, that we deserve all these things, that life is much better with all these things. So we open ourselves to the abundance and the prosperity and the money that is in the universe. We open every channel so that it all flows to us continuously, never drying up, always there. Money, prosperity, and abundance, health, life, everything is for us, for our taking. And we take it now with a grateful heart, and we let that be so. And so it is. Tonight's topic is illness. Lovely topic, isn't it? Every once in a while we have to bring up that idea of illness. And we're going to look at it from a metaphysical point of view. And you can accept this or you cannot. It doesn't matter. But the thing is that this is a metaphysical way of looking at illness. And the way a metaphysician looks at illness is there is no necessity for it. There is no necessity for any illness whatsoever. We do not deny that a person is ill. We don't deny that. But we deny the necessity for it. Which makes us different from Christian scientists. You see. And I'll tell you a cute story about a Christian scientist. A woman had arrived at Christian Science Church and the minister said to her, "Oh, we haven't seen you in so long. Is there anything wrong?" And she said, "Yes, my husband's sick." And she said, or the minister said, "Oh no, he's not sick. He just thinks he's sick." She said, "Oh, okay." So she went, didn't come for a while. When she came back, the minister said, "How's your husband?" And the woman said, "Well, now he thinks he's dead." That my mind, that's the difference between religious science and Christian science. Christian science denies illness altogether. They deny it. They say it's an illusion. We do not deny it. But we deny the necessity for it. Why does people want to suffer? Why do we want to get sick? You see. So we look at it. What is our thinking? What are our emotions? You see. And we've been doing that ever since metaphysics came. But now they're just getting into the whole idea in medicine of the body-mind connection and how much the mind has to do with what's going on in your body. You see. Because in religious science also, we always say, the body has no causation of its own, you see. The body has no causation of its own. The body doesn't feel pain even. Only the mind feels pain. Yes, it feels like the pain is here. But the pain only comes from the mind. There's no physical causation for disease. And the body has no causation of its own. If your body had a causation of its own, your legs would get up and walk away from you. That's what legs do. But we are the ones who decide what's going on in our bodies. And we buy in, of course, to what's going on in the outside world. How many people hear the saying, "I've got something that's going around"? They don't even know what it is, but they've got something that's going around. And then the next person thinks, "Well, something's going around, so I might as well get it also." And it just goes on and on and on like that. And then we're conditioned so, you see. Before television, before pharmaceutical companies took over, there weren't people. Yes, may have been ill and so forth, but not to the extent they are today. Because there isn't anything, even a brief thing, and through our bodies we're going to have brief things happen. This body is capable of healing anything that comes in. They often do an autopsy on somebody who has never been sick a day in their life, and they found out
that they've had TB, they've had cancer, they've had a heart attack, they've had strokes, they've had everything. They never knew it because the body was capable of taking care of all those things and healing all those things. And that's what you must remember, that your body is a magnificent thing and it can do this for you. But we give that power away all the time because we say, oh, a doctor can give us something to get rid of this fleeting thing that is running through us. Instead of saying, I think I'll think about this a moment and let my body take care of it and let it be gone. But we're so used to taking a pill, getting a doctor's idea of what's going on, that we fail to do a lot of this stuff for ourselves. So, here again, this thing that we call God, everyone wants to know about God. Everyone wants to believe in God. Everyone wants to think that God is great and mighty and all this kind of stuff. And yes, think all those things. But then don't think that God would give illness to the world. Why would God do that? Is it some big experiment, you know? I want to see what that person, how that person can handle it. God doesn't do things like that. We do things like that. We're the ones. And we make great big business out of everything. When I was a child, we had little hospitals. And they were usually run by charity nurses and people like that. Now it's all big business and they're bigger than ever. And they just, we forget that we can take care of ourselves. You see? Now I'm never saying, by the way, do not see a doctor. Always get those opinions. But use wisdom while you're getting those opinions. Use wisdom along with it. You do not have to buy in to that. And we're learning now. All the alternative medicines that are out there, all the great stuff that is out there. Our doctors are now referring people. They're now saying and realizing, yes, our pill can do so much, but this can do things also. See. Western medicine is all allopathic instead of homeopathic. Allopathic medicine always attacks what's going on in you. Homeopathic medicine does not do that. Homeopathic medicine always works with the body. Allopathic medicine works always against the body. Always. Because they're chemicals, they're things. And yes, they do heal people. I'm not saying that they don't. You can use them. But what I'm saying is, use wisdom. Use wisdom. When I said tonight's topic is illness, the reason why I do this every once in a while is bring up illness, is so that you say to yourself, that doesn't happen to me. I am always whole, complete, and perfect. I always have health running through me. My body is always resurrecting itself. Every cell in my body is responding to my thinking. And my thinking now is health, not illness. And you keep health in mind. And you realize that you can do that. Instead of letting your mind be brainwashed by all the stuff that's out there. By all the stuff that's out there to tell you that there's something wrong with you. You have to say every day, there's nothing wrong with me. My body functions absolutely wonderfully well. I have perfect assimilation, perfect elimination. I have perfect, everything in my system works perfectly. There isn't an organ in my body that doesn't function correctly. Nothing in my body fights against itself. My body is in complete harmony. These are the things that you want to tell. Because I hear people say, oh, my horrible liver, my horrible heart, You can't say these things about to your organs. You should say every day, oh, I love my liver. Oh, I love my heart. I love my lungs. You see? The liver's over here. Stomach's over there. You have to tell your organs that you love them. They are part of you. So you don't hate anything that's going on inside of you. And you don't hate your organs at all. And you'll see that they will respond to you. You put energy into those things. You have to. You rub your stomach. Tell your stomach how, oh, I love you. Thank you for digesting. Thank you for all the stuff that you do. And it's wonderful. You see, we give hierarchy to things. And we think, oh, well, it's only a stomach. Well, I think that's very nice that your cells, those cells said, okay, I'll be the stomach. What if they all said, oh, no, I'm not going to be a stomach. If I can't be the heart, I'm not going to be anything. Where would you be? Some cells had to do it, didn't they? So you have to say, oh, thank you for doing that for me. You know, thank you very much. And how about your big toe and your small toe and all that? You have to love all those things and say, oh, thank you for working. Thank you for doing all this for me. What if your big toe said, oh, no, I want to be a thumb. I'm not going to be a toe. I'm going to be a thumb. You see? They don't do that. And they're all the same cells. It's all the same life. And it decides. It says, okay, I'll be this, I'll be that. So we have to say, isn't that wonderful? And thank you so much. And love your internal organs. Don't take them just for granted, that stuff. Don't ever take anything that's going on for granted. Never take a thing that happens to my body for granted. I say, oh, thank you for doing that for me. Thank you. And that's the way you build health. That's the way you build. Because it's done with the mind. Body has no causation of its own. The mind is always telling the body how to perform. So if you know that all your organs are working correctly, then they will start working correctly. They will start working in harmony. And people say, oh, this is shut down, or that's shut down, or whatever they're saying about themselves. Say, perk back up here. Come on, wake up. Let's go. And you get your body to work for you. You see? Instead of saying, oh, well, that's gone. I hear people say, oh, well, you know, I reached that age and now that's gone. What's gone? Where'd it go? You know, where does it go? It doesn't. But we buy into those things. The latest one for men, I think, is the prostate gland. I hear more about that now than ever in my entire life. And they can, if it's big, they can shrink it. I thought, oh, I don't want mine shrunk. Thank you very much. You know, why it's shrinking, that's probably shrinking something else. You know, beautiful. But those things too, and they say, well, it's because of your age. You know, I don't believe that for 1 minute. You can make those things come back. You can do that. But that's the power that you have in your thinking. Instead of giving in and saying, oh, well, now I've reached that age, you know. Do you know that I think only like 20 or 30 years ago, by the age of 40, most people had no teeth. Most people had no teeth because the idea was at 40 you have no teeth. And people lost their teeth. Now we can keep our teeth throughout our entire life. What has changed? Maybe some oral hygiene. But what is... It couldn't be dental floss, by the way. It's an idea. It's an idea. You see. Now we say, oh, We can keep our teeth. And we keep our teeth. But when they thought, oh, everyone loses their teeth at age 40, everyone lost their teeth. You don't have to lose your teeth. Well, this is true.
I know.
Yeah. You remember.
Wait.
Go ahead.
This is very, very interesting and very telling because, to be honest, I woke up with an anxiety attack at 6 in the morning and went to bed at 3, and I could never fall back asleep because I started scouring the internet about high blood pressure because my mom took my blood pressure and said, it's very high, you've got to do something right away. And so I was just like freaking out.
Well, that always works.
Oh, it was awful.
Instead of calming yourself.
I couldn't calm myself.
Well, you could have by staying off the internet and sitting down a moment and saying, okay, this feels like an anxiety attack.
Oh.
But I know perfectly well that I have control over my blood pressure. And I can control my blood pressure. And then you start to see your blood pressure lowering. When the doctor says to me, what is your blood pressure? I say to him, what would you like it to be?
That's very good.
And then I give it to him. Anyone can learn to lower their blood pressure.
Really?
Yeah. Really. The body has no conception of its own. It's the mind. We were taught that we have a lot of automatic systems going on in our body. They're just automatic because we're not thinking about them. Once you start to think about them, you can slow your heart rate, you can slow your pulse, you can lower your blood pressure, you can digest food, you can do all kinds of things. But we have to take time to learn how to do that. We have to take time to do that. The whole thing is that we keep giving our power away. We keep thinking that we are helpless individuals. Now, if we can get over the idea about money, then the next one that comes up is relationships, then jobs come up, and then health raises its little head and says, well, you may be able to conquer them, but you can't conquer your health because everyone knows that people get sick. Everyone knows that people get sick. That's not true. I had a cousin lived to be 102. 2 weeks before she died, she stopped taking food and said, I feel a little tired. The last week she went to bed. She died in her sleep. Her daughter said, you know, the most amazing thing about mother was, in her life, she never took a prescription drug. In her whole life, and she lived to be 102, she never took a prescription drug. Here again, I'm not saying don't take prescription drugs. I'm saying, are they necessary? If you can control your mind, if you can see your life differently, see yourself differently, as not helpless, you're saying, then you can do something about it. But for some reason, we always think that we're powerless over something. And we're not powerless over anything. Nothing is bigger than you are. And certainly, nothing is bigger than God. Nothing. I don't care what they tell you. But we have to learn to think differently. We have to learn to think differently. And we can control these things. We can change our body anytime. How many people in here have changed their body? Everyone's changed their body. It's gone up, it's gone down, it's gone this way, that way, you know. So now you know that it has no causation of its own. You're the one that's causing what your body's doing. But we like to put the power outside of ourselves. We don't like to take that responsibility, and we don't like to blame. So, we always come up with a medical condition or a psychological reason why this is happening. You see? And it doesn't have to happen that way.
doesn't happen. Many people are in 12-step programs for everything under the sun, eating disorders, addictions of all types. The first one, of course, was alcohol. And there's nothing wrong with any of those programs. But if you stay in them long enough, you realize, oh, I'm the one that's doing this. I'm the cause onto my own experience. My sponsor said, don't drink. Now, I have a choice. Either I drink or I don't drink. But we like to say, oh, it's such a powerful addiction. You just don't know how powerful it is. Well, I'm not so sure that addictions are that powerful. It's your thinking about it that is that powerful. It's your thinking that is powerful. And if you think my addiction is very powerful and I cannot do this, you probably won't be able to. But if you say, I can release myself from this, I can release my thinking, I can release this addiction, doesn't mean that you give up the 12-step program, but you look at it differently and you start to take responsibility. And I think a lot of people in 12-step programs do not take the responsibility. They think something outside of them is going to do it. And it helps to go to all those meetings if you can't. If you need that bolstering, go to all that. I'm not saying don't go to these things. I'm saying look at them differently. Look at them differently. And know that you have power over everything. You have dominion over everything on this plane of action. So that means that you have dominion over your health, over your addictions, over whatever you're doing. So, think, that's all. Just think differently. And we have wonderful stuff that's going on out there in the world. There's wonderful medical research going on. And we need that. But we need to also apply our own inner healing that's going on. And any doctor will tell you that even they give you all the drugs and so forth, they have no idea how the body heals itself. They don't know how the body heals itself. But you have to know that you have that power to heal yourself, and that your body's always healing from the inside out. And it's done with this thing that we call thinking. It's always going to be down to thinking. What are you thinking about your health? What are you thinking about your body constantly? How many people here are buying in to what happened in their family? Oh, this runs in my family. You see, did your father have this? Oh, well then, you know, you better go. Oh, well, yes. Yes. If you want that to occur, keep thinking. And it will occur for you. But you can also say, that was his choice. And that may have run in the family for the last 100 years, but it stops with me. I am not going to allow it to happen to me. I am going to think differently. I am not going to say, oh, it's hereditary. It's hereditary. Now, we had talks many times before, and we now know that this has absolutely been proven. We can change our DNA and therefore change our genes. So if you know that and we have that power, then we can put that into use also. And we can say, my genes are changing now. My DNA is changing. I'm not going to go down the same path as my father or my mother or whatever is going on. But people immediately buy in to those things. My father died of colon cancer. Every time I have to write that down on a piece of paper in a doctor's office, then immediately, of course, they say, ah, well, now how old are you? And yada, yada, yada. And when did you have your last colonoscopy, and when did this happen, and when did that happen, and da, 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 da.
I'm going, you know, I don't think it's going to happen to me. In fact, I'm making up my mind right here that it's not going to happen to me. Now, my brother, I say to him, Jack, you shouldn't eat all that red meat. I said, you know, it's not good for your colon. He says, what difference does it make? I'll die of colon cancer like my father. What difference does it make? I'll die because he believes in heredity. And he believes that's what's going to happen to him. So, I'm almost sure that's what's going to happen to him. And once it's happening to him, what are you going to say to him? You can't say anything to him now because they don't believe that. They absolutely believe that that's what's going to go. And they take that as a given. And they say, okay, that's what God has in mind for me. God doesn't have that in mind for you. You have that in mind for you. God has only health and vitality and life for you. Not illness, not sickness, not going down that same road as everybody else. That's the choice that you have. That's the choice that you can make for yourself. So, every day, see yourself as whole and complete and perfect. Know that everything is running perfectly in your body. Even if it's not at the present moment, even if you think that something's going on, even if you're taking some medication, know that you're healing at the same time. And it's not going to be a chronic thing, and it's not going to last the rest of your life. That you are healing right here and right now. That your body is always coming into balance. That's all the body is ever doing. It's coming into balance. When things happen inside of us, when we get what we call disease or disease, illness, whatever, it's because our body went out of balance. And went out of balance because of our thinking, you see. Everything inside of us, if you want cancer, it's inside of you. If you want a sore throat, every germ that gives a sore throat is in your throat right here and right now. There's no germ needed. There's enough germs in your throat to cause a sore throat right now. You don't have a sore throat, do you? No. But if the weather got bad and this happened and that happened and you got stressed out and you got a little off balance, now those germs perk right up and give you a sore throat. Such is the nature of life that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. And we give those opportunities to the germs in our throat when we get stressed, when we allow our thinking to change, when we say, oh, well, I need a day off. I think I'll just get sick today. And don't we get sick? You see? So that's the power that you have. And why don't we use it? Why do we always want to buy into this helplessness or think, oh, sickness is part of life. Sickness is part of life. This thing that we call God would not make a masterpiece like you and I and make these beautiful bodies and then say, oh, I think I'll allow it to get disease and crumble. No. An impossibility. An impossibility. We do that with our thinking. We do that with our thinking. And sometimes we don't know that we're doing it. And sometimes we have to think very long and hard to figure out, what did I do here? But learn. Learn to think differently about yourselves. Learn to see yourselves as powerful individuals, as magnificent individuals, knowing that this thing that we call God is coursing through you right here and right now. The life that you're experiencing is the life of God. There is no other life. When we get say that, people say, "Wow, I'm not God." Well, all that you are is God, but you're not all that God is. And yes, God does not act like you because God does not have a personality. You have a personality, and that personality that you had, you made yourself. You decided this is the type of person that I want to be. This is the type of person who I am. And then you made your personality. Now, you can say, well, I got that from my father. You were the one who made the choices. You saw your father do something. You said, oh, that looks good. I think I'll do that. And your mother said, oh, I think I'll take a little piece of her. Take a little piece of this. Now I think I want to do this. I want to do that. And we make ourselves. We make ourselves our personality. But that thing that's in us, that divinity that is within us, is always whole, complete, and perfect. Remember the idea? The dish is never dirty. There may be dirt on the dish, but the dish is never dirty. This divinity inside of you is always whole, complete, and perfect, is always in perfect health. And that's where you must go. You must go to there. That's the truth. A fact is you're not feeling well right now. But the truth is that you're whole, complete, and perfect. Always go to the truth. Always live from that truth. You do that in everything in your life. With your money, you do that. With your prosperity, you do that. You live from that truth. It may be a fact that your bank account is low, but the truth is, money is always freely circulating in your life and you always have a divine surplus. You live from that truth. You don't live from facts, you say. And we have a tendency, all of us, to live from facts. And we say, oh, these facts, look, all this facts of this must be true. You la ta 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 ta. And the next day, they change all those facts on you. They change them all. But the truth always remains the same. Facts change, facts come and go. The truth always remains the same. And the truth is, you're always whole, complete, and perfect. You're always wonderful human beings. You're always magnificent human beings. You're always worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and you matter. And this is what you want to know. This is what you must know, that you're worthy enough and deserving enough not to have illness, not to have those things in your life, not to have poverty, not to have loneliness, not to have anything that you don't want in your life. That's what this whole teaching is about. That's what your whole life is about. Your whole life is to learn those things so that when you're ready to make your transition, you can look and say, I had a wonderful life. I had a wonderful life. Thank you for everything. I have no regrets whatsoever. That is what. And then you make a transition to the next plane of action with that wonderful knowledge. And you take the knowledge with you. You take that knowledge with you. So learn to totally love, accept, and appreciate yourselves for the wonderful humans that you are, for the power that you have. And never think of yourself as powerless. Always think of yourself as victorious. Always. And let this thing that we call God, this cosmic energy, this cosmic power, come through you. And say to yourself, it's coming through me right here and right now, and it's healing every cell in my body. It's healing every cell in my body. It's healing my mind so that my mind thinks correctly. So that I am always calm and cool and collected. I'm always serene. And therefore, I never get a panic. I remain calm. I let this power calm me. I can feel it coming over me. You can do a wonderful thing. Just close your eyes. Think of this wonderful power as warm water just coming down over you. And you can feel that warmth all through you. And that's the cosmic power. That's that wonderful thing in your toolbox. What is the number one thing in your toolbox?
Imagination.
Imagination. You must use your imagination. You must use your imagination. You see, we were taught that imagination is not real. Imagination is absolutely real. The life of your imagination is real. The things that your imagination comes up with is real. Simply because they're not solid and they don't live on this plane of action, you cannot say that they're not real. Now, you can take your imagination and you can bring it down into this reality and you can make that real. But you have to use it. And everything starts with your imagination. You have to think first and you have to imagine. I'm imagining my heart slowing down. I'm imagining my blood pressure going down. Oh, I see the little down now. It's just going right where it's supposed to. You have to start with that. And it works wonders. It's called biofeedback. Nothing unusual about it. We know all these things. Now we must learn to use them. We must learn to use them so that we can make our life what we want it to be. And it's wonderful. And so are you. And so am I. And there ends the lesson. Thank you.